إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. أما بعد، قال الإمام المقدس رحمه الله تعالى: باب الصوم في السفر وغيره. باب الصوم في السفر وغيره. This chapter here in the book of fasting, Kitab al-Siyam, the book of fasting. In it, we have finished the introductory chapter, and now we are embarking upon the next chapter, and that is the chapter of fasting whilst traveling, and other affairs related to fasting. Fasting whilst traveling, and other affairs related to fasting. As for the explanation of this chapter, it means As-sawmu fi safar, any the rulings of fasting when one is traveling, is it afdal, is it better for them to fast, or is it better for them to break their fast whilst they are traveling? And the statement of the Shaykh rahimullah ta'ala wa ghayrihi, and other than that, is pertaining to other affairs of fasting. يعني من قضاء رمضان والصوم على الميت وتعجيل الفطر والوصال. And that is pertaining to other affairs in this chapter that we're going to deal with, and that is making up one's fast in Ramadan, after Ramadan, يعني breaking one's fast in Ramadan for any given permissible reason, and making that up, القضاء, making that up outside of Ramadan, the rulings pertaining to those affairs. وصوم عن الميت, and fasting for the one that has deceased, on behalf of the one that is deceased. Fasting on behalf of the one that is deceased. And تأجيل الفطر, and that is racing to break one's fast when it's time. Racing towards breaking one's fast when it's time. And also الوصال. And الوصال is continual fasting without a break, without breaking a fast. Continual fasting without breaking one fast. Now, باب الصوم في السفر وغيره. The chapter pertaining to صوم, fasting when one's travel, its permissibility, whether it's more virtuous to fast or to break it whilst traveling, and وغيره, and other affairs of pertaining to fasting, related to fasting, yani in the month of Ramadan, and other than that. Na'am. Then, so therefore, we'll mention the second point, and that is that in this chapter, Barakallahu Fikum, it's pertaining to the ruling and the permissibility of one breaking their fast whilst traveling. قد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى وما جعل عليكم في الدين من حرج يريد الله بكم اليسر أو يسر ولا يريد بكم العسر. And that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah has not made in this deen a hardship upon you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in another verse, يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر. That Allah wants ease for you, and He does not want hardship for you. And that because al-safar qita'atun min al-adab, kama dhakara an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that traveling is a portion of punishment, and there's hardship in traveling, there's mushaqqa, there's hardship, difficulty, su'uba, and is qita'atun min al-adab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, from His mercy, from His rahmah, has given leeway for the person who is traveling for certain affairs, and from those affairs is her salah, that he's able to shorten his prayers or her prayers, and also that which is more connected to our dars today is when one is fasting in the month of Ramadan. Allah has given the rukhsah. Allah has given the leeway for the one that is fasting whilst traveling, that he could fast or break his fast, that he can fast or break his fast. Hadha fil umum, this is generally what this chapter, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, is dealing with. And these affairs we're going to deal with today in our lesson. And we'll deal with five or six hadith and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, five or six narrations from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pertaining to this important affair, pertaining to this important affair. After this introduction, barakallahu feekum, we like to mention additional points. And you could say that this is point number three. And that is that, what is the definition of safar? Yani, what is safar? What is safar? What is traveling? And traveling is mufaraqatul mahal al-iqama ala wajhin yusamma safra. Mufaraqah mahal al-iqamati ala wajhin yusamma safara. And that is leaving one's place of abode in a way in which it is considered traveling. Leaving one's place of abode in a way in which it is considered traveling. Mufaraqatu mahal al-iqama ala wajhin yusamma safara. Now, so this is the definition that Shaykh al-Alama Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he mentions for traveling. The second thing we want to mention is hadd al-safar, the tahdeed of the safar. When do we know that an individual is traveling? What is the distance? What is the musafa? What is the musafa? What is the distance or zaman or period in which one is considered a traveler? The ulama, they differed in various opinions as it relates to this. Some have given certain miles or kilometers, and some have given, barakallahu fikum, certain indicators from their ijtihad. But the correct opinion that is mentioned is that which goes back to Anas ibn Malik, radiyallahu anhu, sahabiyun jaleel, and that is the qawl that is connected to the definition, in fact, that we've mentioned here, and that is that traveling is ma yusamma safran fi urf al-nas, ma yusamma safran fi urf al-nas, and that is the traveling is what is considered traveling according to the norm of the people, and this is the best position, yani, in that there is no specific kilometers or miles or so forth, but rather it's connected to the or that which is known as safar in the Arabic language and according to the urf of the people. Why? Because the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not mention a tahdeed. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not mention a specific limitation or that which constitutes traveling as it relates to meters and miles and so forth. But rather, atlaqa an-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He made it absolute. In that, the ulama have extrapolated from this in the correct opinion, that traveling is what is known as traveling is what is known as traveling to the people. So for example, for those who live in Bristol, Cardiff, that which is traveling according to the people is traveling. So for example, those who live in Bristol and you want to make a trip to fish ponds, this is not considered traveling according to the understanding of the people. And those who are in Cardiff and you want to make a trip to Grangetown, this is not considered traveling according to the people in Cardiff. And those who are living in London and you want to make a trip from East London to South London, this is not considered traveling according to the way of the people. But if you want to make a trip from Bristol to Cardiff, This is considered travelling, according to both people in Bristol and in Cardiff. And if you want to make a trip from Cardiff to London and vice versa, this again is considered travelling, according to the people. So this is the correct understanding of what constitutes travelling, which is important as it relates to this affair of one who is fasting whilst they're travelling. Does this apply to him? It applies to him if he is considered travelling in the urf, in that which is known and norm amongst the people. This opinion, as we mentioned, has been attributed to Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, and kadhalika wa kadhalika nusiba huwa qawlu al-Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. This is a statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, and likewise a statement, an opinion of Shaykh al-Alama Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. And this is the correct opinion, because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not specify any meters or any miles or any distance. Rather, he left it as the word safar, meaning that which is known as safar, that which is known as traveling, that which is known as traveling. So now we move on to, after this introduction, barakallahu fikum, and remembering the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon this ummah, upon this nation, and the ruqsa, and this ruqsa, and this leeway that Allah has gifted, given to the believing, the fasting people, and those who pray. And this, barakallahu fikum, is something that we need to reflect upon the ni'am and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we study this hadith or these narrations. And this should increase us in elevating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and understanding His names, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, and understanding the meanings between that these names emanate. And this meaning here is stipulated here and mentioned and specified here in these narrations of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this affair of as-sawmu fi safar, and that is fasting whilst travelling. Yani the ruqsa, the leeway, is given for the one who is fasting. Wa billahi tawfiq. Al-hadith al-awwal, the first hadith, an Aisha radiyallahu anha, anna Hamza ibn Amr al-Aslami qala lin-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallama, a'asumu في السفر وكان كثير الصيام قال إن شئت فصم وإن شئت فأفطر. In this hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Aisha radhiyallahu anha, she says that Hamza ibn Amr al-Aslami, who Hamza is from the younger of the Sahabi and the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he used to be somebody who was a frequent faster, and he was active in fasting. So he asked the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, shall I fast while I'm traveling? And he mentions here, Aisha radhiyallahu anha, wa kana, one of the narrators mentioned, wa kana kathir as-siyam, and he used to fast a lot, and he had the malika and the strength to fast. Then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, in shi'ta fasum wa in shi'ta fa'aftir. If you wish, fast, and if you wish, break your fast. If you wish, fast, and if you wish, break your fast. The first point we're going to mention regarding this hadith is the unwan of this hadith, the chapter that can be given to this hadith. What title can we give to this hadith? And that is Hukum as-siyam fi safar. Hukum as-siyam fi safar. The ruling of fasting whilst traveling. The ruling of fasting once traveling. Point number two. In this hadith, is that which is intended here the sunnah fast or the fast in Ramadan? Is it intended here the sunnah fast, the non-obligatory fast, or the fast of Ramadan that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave Hamza ibn Amr al-Aslami an advice regarding it? Some of the ulama have said that it's a sunnah fast. Some of the Ahl al-Ilm have said it's a sunnah fast. But that which is correct and that which is sahih is that this fast is in fact the obligatory fast. This fast is in fact the obligatory fast. Why? And that is regarding because of another narration, hadith, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is in Sahih Muslim, where he mentions sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hiya rukhsatun min Allah, faman akhadha biha fahasanun, wa man ahabba an yasuma fala junaha alayhi. Naam. Where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the narration, another narration in Sahih Muslim regarding this qissa, this affair here, and that is that it is a rukhsa, it is a leeway from Allah. Whoever takes it, then that is good. And whoever wants to fast, then there is no fault upon him. And وَمِثْلَ هَذَا لَا يُقَالُ فِي التَّطَوُّعِ. And this kind of a statement from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cannot be said for a fast that is non-obligatory. هِيَ رُخْصَ. It is a leeway. And this is only for something that is obligatory. A leeway is only given for something that is obligatory. For وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يَصُومَ فَلَا جُنَاهَ عَلَيْهِ. فَمَنْ أَخَذَ بِهَا فَحَسَنٌ. This is clearly an indication that it's obligatory. So the correct opinion is that this is this advice of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنْ شِئْتَ فَصُومْ وَإِنْ شِئْتَ فَأَفْطِرْ. If you wish fast and if you wish break your fast, this is indeed from pertaining to obligatory fast, yani the fast of Ramadan. The fast of Ramadan. After this, we deal with some of the benefits that we can take from this hadith. The first benefit is Hirs al-Sahaba radiyallahu anhum ala ilmi liya'lamu aw liya'lamu bihi. And that is the enthusiasm of the companions radiyallahu anhum seeking ilm. And that is them asking the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is Aisha radiyallahu anha in her Hirs and seeking ilm and spreading the knowledge. And also Hamza ibn Amr al-Aslami radiyallahu anhu, he is seeking knowledge from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is how we have to be, ya ibadallah, be like the companions radiyallahu anhum in seeking knowledge in order to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon basira, upon ilm. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how He wants us to worship Him subhanahu. With the ahkam that He has legislated, the rulings that He has legislated, and this requires us to go back to the Quran and go back to the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this was the action of the Sahaba. This is how the Sahaba were. Benefit number two that we can take from this hadith: wahiya takhiru masafir bayna siyam wal fitr. Takhiru masafir bayna siyami wal fitr. And that is that the person who is traveling has a choice in, from this hadith. He has a choice whether to fast or whether to break his fast. Whether to fast or whether to break his fast. Al-fa'idatu thalitha. The third benefit from this hadith, sihhatu sawm Ramadan fi safar. And that is that the third benefit, if the individual chose to fast while they are traveling, their fast is still valid. Their fast is still valid. Point number four, and that is that the Sharia al-Islamiyah, the Islamic legislation makes ease for the people. And in the Islamic legislation, it makes ease for the people. And that is mentioned here clearly in this hadith, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in shi'tum fasum wa in shi'tum fa'aftir, if you wish fast and if you want to break your fast. Now, it shows the ease in which the legislation has been built and is for the people to make their life easy and so forth. And the fifth benefit is shay'in aqadi, is a benefit that is pertaining to al-aqidah. And that is ithbatu al-mashi'atu or ithbatu al-mashi'ati lil-abdi wa butlani madhhab al-jabariyya. And that is that it's a refutation in this hadith of those who claim that the people do not have any choice. That the creation, the man, does not have any choice. That they say that the man is like a tree, with there's a tree and has leaves, and the leaves just blow with the wind. They have no irada, they have no intent, they have no choice. And this is from the Aqid of Al-Jabariyah. They say that they are mujbar, that they are mujbarun. They are fast, they are forced. They are forced in order to do things they have no choice. And in this hadith is a refutation against the Aqid of the Jabariyah, Qadariyah. And that is that here the abd has been given a choice. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, in shi'ta fasum wa in shi'ta fa'aftir. And if you wish fast, and if you wish break your fast. The abd has been given a choice, so it's a clear refutation against the Jabariyah. Al hadithu thani. The second hadith in this chapter of fasting whilst traveling, and Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, قَالَ كُنَّا نُسَافِرُ مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَلَمْ يَعِبِ الصَّائِمُ عَلَى الْمُفْتِرُ وَلَى الْمُفْتِرُ عَلَى الصَّائِمُ. This hadith of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, Anas ibn Malik the Muhaddith, one of the frequent narrators on the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه, from the last of those who died from the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it's recorded that he was the last one to die from the Sahaba who lived in Kufa, but in general he was one of the last of the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to die, and he had a long life. Radiyallahu anhu qal. He said, "Kunna nusafir." We were traveling with the Medina Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the one that was fasting did not fault the one that broke his fast, and the one that broke his fast did not fault the one that was fasting. The one that broke his fast did not fault the one that is fasting. In this hadith, again, is an extra understanding for us in that which is built. We can build upon the previous hadith. And that is the chapter, the heading, Hukm Sawm Ramadan wa Fitrihi fi Safar. And that is the ruling of fasting in Ramadan and breaking the fast whilst fasting or whilst traveling, and that one should not disparage the person that fasts, and one should not disparage the person that breaks their fast. They should not hold that they are wrong, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the rukhsa, as we've mentioned previously in the hadith of Aisha radhiyallahu anha and Hamza ibn Amr al-Aslami radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. Point number two, some benefits that we can take from this hadith. The first benefit, and that is Jawaz al-Fitr wa Siyam fi Safar, and that is the permissibility, clearly from taken from this hadith, the permissibility of breaking one's fast and fasting whilst traveling. And the second benefit that we can take from this, al-fa'idatul thaniya, anna iqara an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hujja. And that is that when this, in this hadith, it brings to us the understanding that the acknowledgement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a proof. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam acknowledging an act of the Sahaba, or acknowledging a statement of the Sahaba, is in itself a proof, and is part of the Sunnah. And that is that in this hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, he said, "Kunna nusafir." We were traveling with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and none of us faulted. And falam ya'ib sa'imu ala al-muftir, wala muftiru ala sa'im. The person who was fasting did not fault the person who wasn't fasting, and the person who broke his fast did not fault the one that was fasting. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam traveled with them. Kunna nusafiru ma'a nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We were traveling with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he witnessed this, and he did not reprimand them, and he did not tell them they were wrong. Rather, he remained silent, yani aqar. He acknowledged it sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore it proves that his acknowledgement is from his sunnah. The acknowledgement is from the sunnah. لأنه لا يجوز تأخير البيان عند الوقت الحاجة. لا يجوز تأخير البيان عند الوقت الحاجة. That is not permissible to correct an affair in the time of its need of correction. It is not permissible to leave an affair, or to delay correcting an affair. It is not permissible to delay correcting an affair when it's needed to be corrected. So if it was needed to be corrected, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was the best of advisors, would have reprimanded his companions. And this is from al-Iqrar, and that is from al-Iqrar, and that is from the acknowledgement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this situation is correct, that one should not fault the one who is fasting, and one should not fault the one who is not fasting. Naam. Al-Hadith al-Thalith, the third narration that we're going to mention today. And Abi Darda Uwaymir, his name is Uwaymir ibn Amir, the Sahabi Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu, qal kharajna ma'a Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wasallam fi shahri Ramadan fi harrin shadid. حتى إن كان أحدنا ليدع يده على رأسه من شدة الحر وما فينا صائم إلا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعبد الله ابن رواحة. He said Abi Darda radiyallahu ta'anhu, and he's Uwaymir ibn Amir ibn Qais al-Ansari al-Khazraji radiyallahu anhu, who became Muslim in the year of the Battle of Badr. And he fought in Uhud. And after that, he was from the ulama of the Sahaba, Fudala, virtuous companion of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was also one who was abstinence in the dunya, yani Zahid, Alim Zahid, from the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Kharajna ma'a an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam," that we went with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam on an excursion in the month of Ramadan, fi harrin shadid, and it was very hot, so much so that some of us would use his hand to cover his head, because it's so hot. So he's covered his head because of the heat. And there was none of us who was fasting except, and no one from amongst us was fasting except the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Abdullah ibn Rawaha, the Sahabi Jalil radiyallahu an. So in this hadith here, we have been informed that they traveled with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They traveled with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the month of Ramadan. It was very hot, so much so that a man would have to cover his head with his hands because it was so hot, because of the sun, to protect them from the sun. And the people woke their fast. وَالنَّاسُ مُفْتِرُونَ, and the people broke their fast. And none of them were fasting except the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abdullah ibn Rawaha. Naam. So regarding this hadith, barakallahu feekum, we got some benefits that we can summarize. Again, building upon the previous narrations. And that is again, Jawaz Fitr Musafir fi Ramadan, permissibility of the one that is traveling to break his fast in Ramadan. And the second benefit that we can take from this, أَنَّ الْفِطْرَ أَفْضَلُ لَهُ إِذَا كَانَ يَشُقَّ عَلَيْهِ, and that is that if the person who is traveling, if he is difficult for him and is harming him and he has difficulty whilst traveling, then, and his fasting is permissible for him, and it's better, rather it's better for him to break his fast, it's better for him to break his fast. Naam. And the third benefit that we can take from this hadith, barakallahu feekum, anna at-tawaqqi min asbab ad-darari la yunafi kamal at-tawakkuli ala Allah ta'ala. And that is that one protecting themselves or using means to protect themselves from any harm does not negate trusting in the perfection and trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is that the Sahaba radiyallahu anhu, in the heat, in the shiddat al-harara, severely hot, they used to try to use means to cool themselves and cover themselves and protect themselves from the sun that was harming them, and from the affairs that they used to do this was their arms and their hands, putting over their heads. And this does not negate trusting in Allah like the Sufis claim, just to get hot, stay there and get hot, and wear a woolly jacket or wear woolly clothing and sweats and punish yourselves. This is not from tawakkul. Rather, tawakkul is by using the means. And the Sahaba, they used the means that they had at that time, and that was breaking their fast, which was a rukhsa, and also using their covering their heads with their hands, covering their heads with their hands. Now, al-hadith al-rabi, the fourth hadith that we're going to mention today, barakallahu feekum, and Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhuma qal kana rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi safarin fa ra'a zihama wa rajulan qad dhullila alayhi fa qala ma hadha qalu sa'imun qala laysa min al-birri as-sawm fi as-safar. And that is that the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Jabir ibn Abdullah, the Jabir ibn Abdullah, again from the frequent narrators of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was a frequent narrator, Jabir ibn Abdullah radhiyallahu ta'anhu, even though he was from the younger of the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that we were traveling with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and people were crowd. They were traveling, and there was a crowd busy crowd and so forth. It was crowded, and there was an individual who was shielding himself with in the shades because of the heat, and the people were looking for shades and so forth. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked them. He said, "What is this?" And they said that he is fasting. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Laysa min al-birr as-sawm fi as-safar," and it is not from righteousness to fast whilst traveling. This hadith, barakallahu feekum, again is building upon the previous narrations that we have taken today. And we'll start with the first point, and that is that this traveling, kunna kana Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fi safarin, that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was traveling. This was in Ghazwatul Fath, in the conquest, in the travel of the conquest of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, conquest of Mecca. And this was a traveling. It was in Ramadan, in the 8th Sanat al-Thamin min al-Hijrah. And it was in the 8th year after the migration of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Medina. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith is educating the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu and the Ummah. And that is regarding how one should carry on when there is severity and hardship when they're fasting. When there's severity and hardship, when they are fasting. So we basically, inshallah, will mention some additional points again to add to that which was mentioned before. The first one is ittina an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam bi ashabihi wa su'alihi an ahwalihim. And that is the care of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam for his companions and the compassion that he had for his companions, asking about their condition and how they were. And this is clearly mentioned in this hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu. The second benefit that we can mention from this, and the sawm al-musafir wa mushaqqa laysa min al-birr, and that is that if you're traveling, ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, that if you're traveling and there is mushaqqa, there is hardship, severe hardship, it is not from piety for you to fast while you're traveling. That is not a sign of piety. That is not a sign of piety, but rather in that situation, a sign of piety is to take the rukhsa, is to take the leeway that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon the fasting, traveling individual. Thalithan, mashru'iyyatil akhd bi rukhsatillahi ta'ala, and that is the legislation of taking the leeway that Allah, the third benefit is the legislation of taking the leeway that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has given you, that leeway that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. And the fourth benefit is that in this hadith, you see the people were gathering and crowded when they saw this individual who's suffering because of the heat. This individual who's suffering because of the heat, and the people are watching him because of the severity of his suffering. And it shows that جواز الاستحام على رؤية أشياء الغريبة, and it shows the permissibility, as Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, it's the permissibility of a crowd gathering to just watch. There's a crowd watching something that is strange. Something that is strange. Now, after this we continue, barakallahu fikum, with the next hadith. The next hadith as it relates to this chapter is an Anas again. Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu. قال كنا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في سفر فمنا الصائم ومنا المفطر قال فنزلنا منزلا في يوم يوم حار وأكثرنا ذلا صاحب الكساء فمنا من يتقي الشمس بيده قال فسقط الصوم فسقط الصوام عفوا فسقط الصوام وقام المفطرون فضربوا الأبنياء وسقوا الركاب فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذهب المفطرون اليوم بالأجر. And that is Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه, who is talking about a travel that they had with the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. And in this travel there was a قصة that he's mentioning, radiyallahu anhu. So that we were with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this safar, and from us were those who were fasting, and from us were those who were breaking or who broke their fast. Then the Messenger sallallahu, then he said, radiyallahu anhu, فَنَزَلْنَا مَنْزِلًا فِي يَوْمٍ حَارٍ, and we stopped a place to rest in a, it was a hot day, and some of us were so hot that they were using their clothes to cover themselves, and some were using their arms to cover themselves because it was so hot. And the sawam collapsed. Those who were fasting, they collapsed because of the difficulty of fasting whilst it was so hot. وَقَامَ الْمُفْتِرُونَ, and as for those who broke their fast, they stood up. Yani they had strength, and they built with wood and so forth, the little resting place for them to rest and reside. They built it for everyone to rest in that manzil, in that place of rest. They built it, and they gave water to the camels. They gave water to the camels, and then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after this, he said that those who broke fast today were the ones who received the reward. Those who broke fast today were those who received the reward. Meaning that those who broke fast, because they were traveling and they broke fast, they had the energy to aid their brothers in building that place for them to rest. And they had the energy in giving water to the camels. And they were getting reward for these good deeds. They were getting reward for these good deeds. But as for those who were fasting because of the shiddatul harara, because it was so hot, they were unable to follow suit. They weren't unable to get this good deed of feeding or water, giving water to the camels, to the beasts, or helping build the abode for everyone else to rest, because they were too tired. They collapsed because of the shiddat al-harara and the siyam. Now, regarding this hadith, we're going to mention a few points, bi-idhnillah. The first one is the title of this hadith, and that is Hukmul Fitr fi Safar lil Maslaha, the ruling of breaking one's fast when they're traveling for the better good. For the better good. Point number two is some benefits that we can take from this hadith. And the first benefit is Jawazul Fitr wa Sawm lil Musafir Ramadan. And that is, in this hadith, is a permissibility of breaking one's fast and fasting in the month of Ramadan. Naam. لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أقر الصحابة عليه, because the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم acknowledged that both of them fasted. He did not say that this person's fast was impermissible and so forth. It was acknowledgement. And as we mentioned previously, that acknowledgement is from the proofs of the sunnah, from the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Acknowledgement is from the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-fa'idatu thaniya, the second benefit, an al-fitr afdal min as-sawmi tha kana fi dhalika maslaha. And that is that breaking one's fast is better than fasting if there is a benefit that is needed. If there is a benefit that is needed. Now, and the third benefit that we can take from this, or if there is a greater benefit, if there is a greater benefit. The third issue or benefit we can take from this hadith is fadl khidmat al-ashab, and that is the virtues of aiding your brother when you're traveling. The virtues of aiding your brother when you're traveling, because the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in this hadith, "Dhahab al-muftiruna al-yawma bil-ajr," that those who were who broke their fast, they got away, went with the reward. They got the reward. Here, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing the virtue of aiding your brother and aiding your sister when you're traveling, and caring for them when you're traveling, because these companions, radiyallahu anhum, who broke their fast, they built the resting place from wood and so forth, and tree trunk and so forth. They built this, and they had the energy to do this. They aided and had a khidmah for their companions and their traveling companions, and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also they gave water to their beasts. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed their virtue here. He showed their virtue here. Now, and the final benefit we're going to mention from this hadith is mashru'iyyatu at-tashji' 'ala 'amal as-salih wa targhib fih, and that is the legislation of encouraging people to do good deeds. And this is what we have to do for each other, ya ikhwati al-kiram wa akhawat, in this month of Ramadan and outside of Ramadan, when we're traveling and where we're muqimeen, when we're residing, to our neighbors, to our families, we should encourage each other in doing good deeds. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى, and aid each other upon piety and righteousness. We should aid each other in doing good deeds. And this is how the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam treated his companions, in that he encouraged them to do good deeds. ذَهَبَ الْمُفْتِرُونَ الْيَوْمَ بِالْأَجْرِ, the people who fasted, they get reward. This is encouraging. This is encouraging those after them to do good deeds and aid others and do عَمَلَ الصَّالِحِ, do righteous deeds in order to attain the ajr, in order to attain the reward and to receive the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. And with this, barakallahu feekum, we have completed five narrations from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as relates to as-sawm. As-sawm fi safar, fasting whilst traveling. And bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, next week we'll continue with the other issues pertaining to fasting. But what we like to do bi-idhnillah together is do a summary generally of the ruling as it relates to fasting when one's traveling. And that is that the statement of Shaykh al-Alama Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that regarding the fasting individual when they're traveling, if the fast is easy for him, it is better for him to fast. And why is that? So he's not in debt. So he's not in debt of making up the fast afterwards. If he has the ability and he is not mushaqqa and he's not difficult upon the one that's traveling, then it's better for him to fast. But as for the one who is traveling and it's difficult for him to fast, finds it difficult to fast, and for example, finds it difficult to drive, may fall asleep when they're driving, may become drowsy when they're driving, and so forth, because as-safar qita'atun min al-adhab, traveling is a portion of punishment. There is hardship involved. So if the person finds it difficult to fast while he's traveling, فَالْفِطْرُ أَفْضَلُ, then breaking one's fast is better, is virtuous. So it depends upon each individual. There isn't one specific ruling, but if the individual decides to fast, in any case, it's permissible for him. And if the individual desires to break his fast, it is permissible for him, even if it's not difficult, because it's a rukhsa from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None of them are sinning. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين.